Okay, good morning, friends and brethren.
Good morning.
In Psalm 122, verse 1, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We thank him for he gave us good health today, because if not, maybe we are one of those who are in the hospital or in bed, sick, lonely, cannot eat. And of course, if you cannot eat, oh, you will get thin. So we thank God, we praise him, we appreciate him for he gave us this great opportunity that we can serve him, praise him, magnify his wonderful name. We are also thanking him for opening our way to come and to be with you this morning. It's wonderful, brethren. We don't expect this, but there were no nights in our stay with Brother Travis and Elina that we are not praising and thanking God because he opened our way to be with you. And only you here by prayers and by stories, but now we are here and it's really wonderful. So to all of you members of the church here, we thank you so much for your prayers, for your love, and thinking also for the Philippine work. To those who are visitors, thank you for coming. My wife and I are happy to meet you all. Thank you so much. Our time now is 11, and I do not know how to deliver two things to you this morning in a short period of time. But I will do my best. Anyway, if you feel you would go, you may go and we will not be embarrassed. I will not be embarrassed. Because what I'm planning to do is that I will share you some information about the Philippine work before a Bible, a short Bible lesson. So maybe we'll go now so that we have more time. That's our name, Rodi Antil Sigumpad. And that's my email address. I put in there so that if you are interested, please take that, email me, remind me that we meet here at Ashley Church. And if you like, I will include your email list in my your email address in my email list so that you can get update report from me. So that's the purpose of that, and no other than else, brethren. All right, brethren, please remember that we came from the Philippines. We are Filipinos. We did not come from Philippines. We are not Philippians. And most especially, we did not come from the Philistines. We are not your enemies. Where is Philippines? You can see, here's South America. North America, Australia, here's Philippines over here. And last May 16, we flew from Manila to Japan for 5 hours, and then from Japan to Seattle, Washington for 8 hours, and from Seattle we went to Blackfoot, Idaho. That's the church, one of the churches that supports me, and who invited me last year to come and hold a gospel meeting to them. And I told them we cannot come this year, but maybe next year, I mean this year. And so they said, very good. Now we are happy to pay for you and a round trip ticket for you and your wife. So that was wonderful. So we cannot afford to come by our own. So we are so thankful to them because they paid our round trip tickets. And from Blackfoot, Idaho, we went to Chicago, where one of our two daughters are is living. We have two daughters here in the U.S. And from there, we started our ground travel because when brethren learned that we are coming, especially those brethren who were with us in the Philippines also before, they said, hey, come on, come and visit us also. And this includes now our present because I emailed Brother Travis, Brother Travis, we are coming, what can you say? And he said, hey, you come here also, and thank you so much for the warm welcome, brethren. Thank you so much. We will keep that card that you signed, and we will go home with much tears, and we will remember you all, brethren. Thank you so much. Well, from Chicago on October 4, before snow will come, we will go home. And we'll go back to Japan and then to the Philippines. Alright, Philippines has three bigger islands. The first one is Luzon in the north. The middle is we call Visayas. And on the south is the Mindanao. And Tuguegarao is right there, over in the north. And it is a 1 hour flying from Tuguegarao to Manila. But it is about 10, 11, 12, or maybe 18 hours if it is by bus or by car, because the road is not good. It is not as good as you have here. I will show you in a while why. And according to CIA, World Factbook, on year 2008, there were already 96 million population, 2009, 97, 2010, last year, 99, and they are saying that by the end of 2011, there will be 101 million population of the Philippines. Philippines is just like the California, map of California. And that's Manila. It's expected to be 20 million population by the end of this year. It's packed city, I mean. Our Tuguegarao city is has more or less 200,000 population. We live on this side of the city. And this is the map of Northern Luzon. And here are the provinces. These are the provinces. As I said, Manila is down here. Manila is down here. But these are the provinces. And here is Tuguegarao. That's where I went in 1972. My parents were members of the Wesleyan Church. But then I was 14 years old. At that time, they do not like me. They cannot afford. My parents cannot afford to send me to high school. They are very poor. The Wesleyan Church, Bible College, do not like me to go to the Bible school. They said, oh, you are too young. You are not yet qualified. So I stood away, and I landed in Tuguegarao City, not knowing that the place where I'm going was a Pentecostal Bible Seminary. So in 1972, I went there, and that was June. We started the classes, but here comes July, more students coming, August, September. And one of those who latecomers at the month of September was a beautiful lady. And I think that was the first lady that, you know, made my heart kutub, you know. So one day when I was sitting down at the under the mango tree, that lady passed, you know. And I gathered all my strength, and I gave her a whistle. And she looked at me and she said, I am not a dog. And she said, wow. But I prayed for her, and after 3 years, she accepted me. And to make the story short, she's my wife now. So I want to encourage the young men here, young boys, if you are trying to court a lady and she's not paying attention to you, pray. Maybe after 3 years, you can get her. So we graduated in 1975 in the Bible school. But then in 1979, we work and continue as a Pentecostal pastor in another group. At that time, I was already a representative of the Philippine Association of Bible Fellowship. And I work at Bigan Ilocos Sur. That's a Bigan city in Ilocos area. And as Pentecostals, we were connected with A.A. Allen, you know, the Miracle Revival Time, you know. Oral Roberts Wing, Pat Robertson, and the other Pentecostals. But then, to make the story short, it's a long story about my conversion, but on January 3, 1980, I surrendered and obeyed the Lord. I realized that I am hopeless and wrong and will go to hell if I will not obey the gospel of Christ. So my wife and I were baptized into Christ on January 3, 1980 in Lawag City. And then from that, I converted the same day when I was baptized, I converted my fellow Pentecostal preacher who gave me a Bible tract way back here in Cagayan in 1976. So I baptized him, and he is my first victim in the Church of Christ. After my conversion, I went to my parents and baptized them, converted my brothers and sisters. We went to these parents. They were strong members of the Pentecostal church in the place. And I converted them. brothers and her sisters. Of course, their pastor was very angry at me. She was a lady. And one time when we were holding a Bible study, she was pointing at me like that. She was very angry at me. But his father said, "Will you sit down? Listen to what he is saying. Sit down, Pastora." They call him Pastor, her Pastora, because she is not the husband. To make the story short, that same night, that lady said, "Rudy, will you please can you baptize me and my husband?" And well, I talk first with your husband. So to make the story short, the next day I baptized her, and that brother is still preaching up to this time. Not the lady anymore. It's now the husband. So we're so thankful. That's the beginning. We prayed much that we can come back here. And in 1984, we started the first service that we started in Tuguegarao City. My first congregation was my wife and my five children at the time. And it's a hard work. But in 1985, the next year, I went on the radio. And we're so thankful. God bless the coverage of the radio is up to these provinces, you know. These are provinces. These are high mountains over here. If you are here in Tuguegarao, you want to go there, you cannot just go. These are high mountains. And in those mountains, there are headhunters and the rivers are there. You cannot just go. You have to go around. In 1985, radio was started, and to make the story short, for 3 million population of the area, they heard the gospel. And if you are asking how many congregations now, from 1984 to 2011, this year, 27 years, our record shows the following. Listen, brethren, I was not the only one who made these works. I went there, started the work, and then convert people, encourage the men to step up, train them, and then American brethren, faithful American brethren, we invited them to come, and so it is a joint effort. And to make the story short, in Batanes, we now have one congregation. In Apaya, we now have 8. In Cagayan, we now have 92. In Kalinga, we now have 36. In Sabila, we have 69. In Quirino, we have 16. And now we have 222 congregations. That's in our record. It's not hard. I mean, it's very hard. And when we arrive there, there is only one church in Sabila and one church in Quirino. That's where the late brother pastor was preaching. But now we are so thankful. There are over 222 congregations now, and there are more people who are inviting us to go and preach the gospel to them. We have so many contacts and time, and sometimes we cannot do all response to them all. Alright, that's my car that we are using, but like your car here, it's now a 12 years car, and it has many problems already. So if you like your car, if you fix today, after 3 days, another problem, fix it again, another problem again. So I'm planning to sell that car and get a new one. That's our house, not yet done, but this is our church building here. So you can see how far we are in our house. That's all. Now, we intended to make this room, and that's your room when you come. If you will come, if one of you will come, that's your room. That's your room over. There is a AC, air condition, but I urge you, please pay your electric bill when you go home. Yeah, it's a AC in that room. And this is our basketball ring where we are making a basketball when we come from the preaching. And that's to exercise and to remove some fat. Some of you are asking, my family, we have 7 children only. 3 boys and 4 girls, all married except the youngest son, Terry Boy. So that's the family. And I said a while ago, we have two daughters here. One is married to Ryan, and they are in Sandusky, Michigan. They just arrived April 13th. And Kathleen, married to Shahid, and Shahid is a Catholic, and that's why we have to go back to Bolingbrook, Illinois, before we'll go home and continue to study with him. We have 6 grandkids, almost 7, but the one that is with Lucille, 3 months, has been miscarried while we are here. So these are our grandkids. The oldest is 10 years, and the youngest is this only cute little boy. Sometimes we miss him and we want to go home now, you know. And of course, like your grandma here, that's my wife also doing to our grandkids. Our children will bring their children there and will you take care of them while we're away. So, and sometimes Stacy have a hard time to put them on a nap. So if you can see what is in her hand, you know what she meant, you know. So they will go. They will easily go. They can see that one. So, all right, about the church at Metro Tuigara where I am preaching. That's it. That's a church building. We have five classrooms, but not yet done. We only painted outside, not yet done inside. And we are using the auditorium downstairs. These are some of the preachers that are always coming with me when I go preach. We cannot afford to build their church building, but because of love by American brethren, individual, we are so thankful that we are able to build. And if you can see, that's money. Thank you for adding him in to the men that you are supporting now. And that's Edgar there. Oh, the, both of them are doing well. And they are doing a good work. The Metro Tuigara congregation has 120 attendance. And we have the highest this year of 163. And that was last January. And we have three elders. And also we have three deacons. My sons under work. All my sons are preachers. Teddy boy is 20 years old now. He is the youngest. Mark, married to our youngest daughter. Junior, that's Rodi Gumpa Junior. And Jay and Jerome. Jay lost his leg because of cancer. From here, he totally lost. So he's now using a prosthesis. And we are so thankful for those who pray for him. And this is the Libago Church where Jerome Forillo is preaching. And that's the Minagbag Church where Jay is preaching. That's the congregation. And Junior preaches at Magereg. That's the congregation. And Palka Church where Mark Dakiwag is preaching. All were started by because of our radio program. That's Terry Boy also, and he's helping Jerome. And last July 31, they baptized too. So Terry Boy immersed the convert. Two converts. That's Ryan Thomas, also he's preaching. But as I said, please, sir, pray Shahid, because he's very strong Catholic, and we want him also to be saved, you know. And we're trying to have Bible study with him. Farming in the Philippines. In the Philippines, we have black carabao, as we say. And because they are black carabao, we call them Filipino carabao. You know, there are also white carabao. And because they are white, we call them American carabao. So, if you will come, you have already American carabao there. Carabao is are used in plowing the fields, most by the poor farmers. There are some hand tractors, but only by the richer people, they are expensive. This is how the farmers prepare their fields. They will traverse the seeds, and after while waiting, the 15 to 20 days that the seeds will grow, they will now prepare the fields like that. And after 15 to 20 days, they will now uproot. They will now uproot the rice like what they are doing here. And people will go and they will get $3 to $4 a day. That's the normal, $3 to $4 a day. After uprooting, they will now replant. They will now replant. And that's where people, most people will go to get $3 to $4 a day. And if I have no support, I will go back to that, because that was my work before. My wife and I know how to work, how to plant rice like that. And I can make a straight line, you know. It's $3 to $4 a day. Rice is 3 months to wait. If you are lucky, if there's no storm or any that will destroy. Until rice ready for harvest like this one. When it is ready, people will come to harvest to get again $3 to $4 a day, like that. And after that, you will gather. You will gather what you cut, and they will thresh like this one. This is to separate the seeds from the hay. This is for men because they are stronger to whip, you know, the hay on the ground. But ladies will do what we call by foot. They will dance without a music. They will dance over the hay to separate the rice, the seeds from the hay. There are threshing machine, but again only by the richer people like that. But with by threshing machine or by hands or by foot, people will put the seeds in the sacks like this one. And look at this. They will now bring to the highways, and they will spill there to dry the rice on the highways. And I told you a while ago to go to Manila from, this is Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. Highways are like this. And, well, Brother Travis was there with us last year, and he saw all these things, you know. How can you drive fast? How can you drive 70 miles per hour here? No, you can. And I know in the States, these things are illegal, but that is the life in the Philippines. Transportation, we have jeepney. We have jeepney. This is the jeepney, but not all have cars, you know, so people will just go and hang over there. Look at this. You cannot almost see anymore the jeepney. And you have to very, very strong, you know, to hang. Inside, that's the inside. It's also packed inside. And this is the school bus of the kids to go to school, you know, a tricycle motorbike with sidecar. Sometimes 10, 15, 18 kids are there to go to the school. So you are lucky, kids, here. You have your school bus or your own car to bring you to the school. This man is very happy because he can make money by carrying more people like this one. Sometimes 6 people like that, you know. And it is a 100cc motorbike. Yeah. Or they will, it's a motorbike, they will put some woods like that, and people will sit on the other side, and they will go. And the driver is very happy, he can get more money. And or, like this one, is a bicycle with sidecar, and that's how they used to carry their stuff to the place. They have no truck. Here you have F-150, 250, 350, what those kinds of trucks. But that's what they do there. Or a hand tractor like this. This driver is very happy because he can charge his many passengers now from the village to the market, like that. This is typical house of brethren and people in the village. For 4 or 5 or 6 children and their parents are there. Everything is already in that room. They have their beddings there and everything. Their kitchen is already there. And sisters and people in the remote areas are sometimes hard of much water to do their laundry. So they have to go out and look for water, even in farm water like this, what they are doing here. We are so thankful that our sisters here are very blessed. When you want to wash, just go and take your dirty clothes at your, what do you call that, washing machine, wash, and then after that you will transfer to the dryer, and then you will go continue watching your TV while you are taking your snack, even at night, you know, you can do that. No, there, that's the situation. When we go preach, so many are calling us to go preach because there are many who are listening my radio program. We go, but most roads is like this, you know. Away from the highway, you have to go past like this one, very narrow, very slippery. Sometimes bridges are destroyed and we have to fix so that we can pass. And I'm so glad that when I go into the mountains, fellow workers are always coming with me. And that's good because if something happened to the other car, we have still a backup car like that. And we also travel by what they call this ferry boat. And we have to be very careful because many accidents happen already. Or by hanging bridge. I was not able to bring Brother Travis over here because the people there hid hunters. And I am afraid that they know that he is a serviceman and we cannot go home anymore without with head. So, Ron, I brought there, Brother Ron Halbrook. Or we have to walk. If the car cannot reach the place, we have to walk. Because the people are waiting. The people are waiting. And when we get there, I will open my chart. I have many charts. I will just open and preach to them like that. And although the people are standing like this one, they like it. They will listen. And sometimes I am already done with my 1 hour preaching. They will say, Brother Rudy, one more, please, one more. So I will preach it again. Like that. This is a Methodist church, but because of our radio program, it's now a church of Christ. We baptize them all, the members. These are Catholics, but many of them are Catholics, but the brother that died here, sister that died here, is one of our faithful members over there. But so many Catholic here. This is a Pentecostal funeral, and they asked me to preach to them. We preach also in prison, and this is in Tuapagayan, and we baptized 4 criminals last March. Because they do not allow us to bring them to the river, so we baptize them on a barrel. Don't worry, there are some of those who are optional of what, of how can we baptize people there. I am assuring you, brethren, they will be baptized, because we will fill with water and we will pack them like sardines, and they will be baptized. They will be baptized. That's the word baptism means, you know. So, what is the weather in the Philippines? Well, it is warm, hot, and humid. Look at this. Every time I preach, you can start. You can see my shirt starts to wet. Start to wet. Those are the topics. Start to wet topics, and my shirt get ready for the judgment. And I'm already wet here. I just done teaching the students, the young people. And look at that shirt. I am wet here. I am wet. Sometimes it's dropping like that. It's very hot. Well, I'm wet here, but I have to endure because my topic is about suffering. Yeah, suffering of Job, Moses, David, and the Christians. So. And we ask them if they have any question, and they will ask questions. And then at the end, we will invite, you know, and sometimes people will come crying, you know. These 2 ladies who were crying here were Pentecostals. They were crying, Brother Rudy, why only now? Why only now? And we are so thankful. Because we have conversions, we have so many baptisms. Baptisms. If you see like this, this were in our church building. We have a baptistry also in our church building, and this were in our church building this year. And in the rural areas, we have to go to the river or any place where we could baptize our converts. So we have so many baptisms. We have so many baptisms. Baptisms. As long as you preach the power of God, the gospel, you convert people. Like that. 11 were baptized here. 19 were baptized here. And 7 were baptized here. 9 baptized here. And if there's no water, enough water, we have to pump the creek to make the water, to get more water like that. And are doing that. And while I'm preaching also in other congregations, my wife will also gather children and she will teach them. I said a while ago, these pictures were just only this year. You can see the dress of my wife now, and that's the same dress that in here. And the children likes very much to listen to study about stories about Jesus, like this one. And we baptized already many from the classes that has been taught with my wife, you know, the grown already. Some of them are now preachers. During calamities, 3 minutes more. Philippines is visited more than 20 typhoons every year, you know, every year. And typhoon is very destructive, very, very destructive. And this is the flood that we have last year, 2010. That's Tuguegarao City. In our surrounding, this is the situation, flooded. And of course, after the flood, no more crops, no more rice, no more corn, no more plants, like that. And of course, houses destroyed, like that. And see, no more walls destroyed. And no, there are 2 houses here, no more. The 2 houses were gone, you know. And you know, when there are problems like that, people almost do not know what to do. They are just like a chicken that you will cut the head of the chicken and you will release. The people will just do not know what to do. They will come, call me, Brother Rudy, what shall we do now? And sometimes it's very hard to
it's very hard to respond to them. But the Catholic gives relief to their members. And sometimes they are enticing people, you know, so that's how they get more members. Because there are many reliefs over there. The good thing is, we are so thankful that when there is calamity like that, there are also brethren here in the U.S. who are sending me money. Rudy, can you help us to deliver these funds also to these brethren who are in need? And every time like that, I will always ask fellow preachers to work with me, do the fair distribution. Sometimes we buy sacks of rice. One sack is 100 pounds. And I will deliver to my car to the congregations, and they will be the one to divide to their needy members like that. And or sometimes, if it is not enough, we'll just divide like that. It's a hard work. Or there are some of those who are sending used clothes, canned foods, medicines. So we divide to the churches that are most affected. We divide the clothing like this. And of course, every recipient will be very happy and thankful to what they will get. Some get old eyeglasses like this one, and the sisters that we have in Tuigar are very happy because they can read now their Bible. Some are sending me old laptops, and since that I have also mine, so I'm giving to the preachers, and they are very happy because they have something to use now. Some are giving me money, and I'm buying radio, $9 per radio. And I am giving to those who are brethren who are asking in the rural area so that they have something to use in listening our radio program. In the Philippines, radio is a darling to many people in the mountains or in the farm like that, in the field. Even while they are walking, they have their own little transistor. They are listening my radio program like that. And some Bibles, and we are distributing to those who can understand Bibles. But if we have enough money, we will buy Ilocano Bibles. This is the native Ilocano Bible, and we will give to the brethren, and they are very happy. This year, we have so many converts, and about 80% of them are asking Ilocano Bibles. But I told them, I do not know. I do not know how can we help you. And I asked them to just trust in God. One Bible is about $9. About $9. And I have also a TV program. And it is Saturday, 7:30 to 8, Sunday, 12 to 1 p.m., Monday, 7:30 to 8:30 p.m., and it's very fruitful. Also, I have a radio broadcast, as I said a while ago, it's daily, except Sunday, and it's really doing great. I have already two debates because of this radio program, and I was hurt already one time because of this radio program. The director, founder and director of the Church of the Living God, who keeps on battering me, and I tried to answer his arguments about mechanical instruments, and I did not notice him. He came and attacked me inside the room, and he spanked me, but I was able to face my face, so only half of his fingers hit me. But here are his bodyguards, they are armed, so I'm so lucky because they are my friends, and they said, Rudy, just let us do this, do not react, you know. So they were able to take out the boss, and I'm okay. Thank you for prayers. Anyway, he died already. He died already last April, and I was the one who was invited by the family, one of the six speakers, invited by his family to do his funeral service. So, no more. Preachers will always come and ask, Brother Rudy, what can you advise us? We are going to do something like this. They will go to distribute Bible tracts to different places like that to invite people and come to their attend the services like that, like this one. Now there are some Americans who came to help us preach, do the Bible lectures, gospel preachings, and train preachers. I repeat, I want to emphasize, we have some American brethren who are coming to us, and they are helping us to do Bible lectures, do preaching, gospel preaching, train preachers. They are not coming there only as a tourist or destroying the church. I am very sad. There are those, some who are coming, and they are not really doing things that are for the edification of the world. They are there just to watch, and then in a while, you know, bad reports is already here in the U.S. But we are so thankful that we have American faithful that are coming, who have the right heart, you know, to come with helping us. That's including Brother Ron Halbrook of Louisville, Kentucky. And of course, you know this brother? He was with us last year. Of course, that's Harry Osborne, Oklahoma City, from Oklahoma. That's Mark Mayberry and Jim McDonald of Texas. Armando Vera, Brady Cook, James Duncan, last May 15, we were there before we came here. Of course, Brother Connie and Bobby Adams stayed with us for two times already in our house. There are more, but we have no more time, see? Dan King, Kip Grill, Gerald K., Chris Hippler, Kurt Jones, Ruby McPick, Justin Mans, Earl Mitchell, Steve Locklear, R.J. Stevens, Steve Lee, Kevin Maxey, J.R. Brunger, Rick Billingsley, Steve Wallace, Morgan Farb, Kenneth and Kenny Marsh, Justin Mans, and more others. And every Tuesday, preachers will come, and we are having a plain Bible study in our church building. They are coming there at Metro Church. And we are trying also to help solve their problems, like about their health, family, wife, children, support, and everything. These are only the preachers in our area that we are training. This afternoon, I will be presenting some more report on what we are doing, especially in training preachers. And I hope you will come back this afternoon. I'm sorry. we have only a short time. So thank you for your understanding. If you have any question to the things that I've discussed, please approach me in a while, and I'll be happy to answer you. All right. Now, let's go now to our text, and thank you for Luke reading this. Is it Luke or? The one who read our text this morning. All right, 2 Timothy, please. Wait, before we will read our text. We read a while ago already, but we'll read it again. But before we will read, may I have a request, please. Please do not sleep while I am talking, okay? Please do not sleep. Try to understand what I am going to say. I will not preach to you any gospel other than what the apostles have preached already. I will assure you that. But like Peter is saying in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, I would like to read that passage. He said, 2 Peter 1:12. Peter said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Verse 13, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Again, brethren, please understand what I'm going to present this morning. Every time I preach in our congregation, I use 5 languages. It's because there are certain tribes there. I use English chart. My chart is in English. Our national language is Tagalog. My native language is Ilocano. And the native language of the people there is Banag and Itawis. And sometimes there are other tribes there. So I have to switch my speech to those languages. And now I'm speaking in straight English, and I tell you, brethren, it's very hard. My tongue is like, you know, twisting, so please bear with me. Bear with me. Anyway, we are so thankful for this Bible that giving us assurance that someday, somehow, language is no more a problem over there. Why? Because in that place where we are going, there will be only one language. And I hope it is Filipino so that I will not be hardened anymore to speak. Very hard to speak. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Paul said to Timothy, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to the prophet, but to the subverting of the hearers. In our Bible study this morning, Brother Cookie emphasized Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 39, I think, where it was said there that consider in thy heart or remember, consider these things, remember these things in your heart. And now Paul and Peter are saying the same thing. So let's put it that way. It says, put them in remembrance. Let's read the 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have taught, you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. You can just read 16 and 17, but to minimize, we'll stop there at verse 15. And from these verses, we have our topic, since that it says, of these things, put them in remembrance, and in 2 Thessalonians, it says, stand fast, brethren, and hold the traditions which ye have been taught. So our topic is, remember the traditions of the apostles. Remember the traditions of the apostles. It says here, the traditions. Christians must remember the traditions, all the teaching taught by the apostles. We know that the tradition is the teaching because the traditions taught by the apostle. Yeah, taught by the apostle. So the traditions is teaching. Now, what are they? What are they? I will present to you this chart. As I said, you know them already, but I am trying to ask you to always remember these things. Number one, that there is Old Testament and New Testament. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14, we have the passage. And not as Moses which taught a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of the twisted abolish. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil taken away in the wearing of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15, and for this cause is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. My point here is, there is an Old Testament, and there is a New Testament. And the New Testament is not the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is not the New. Please understand that. In the Philippines, it's so sad. There are now even some Americans coming over there and teaching us that no! They said, no, the Old Testament is the same as the New Testament because there is only one eternal covenant. Brethren, that is wrong. And as I said a while ago, it says here, there is an Old Testament and it is different to the New Testament. And the New Testament is not the Old Testament. So that's what the point that I want to emphasize. To a glimpse of what happened in the Old Testament or what things covered in the Old Testament, we have the beginning, of course, since reading Genesis chapter 1, where we can read about Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, and Noah. Again, please bear in mind, I am just reminding you all these things that has been taught by the apostles, the doctrines, the traditions of the apostles. And it says, since the beginning, when God created the first man, it was Adam, and he gave him a companion, and he called her Eve. Brethren, my point here is, I'm just trying to remind you, when God created a companion for Adam, he called her Eve. He did not call her Steve. It is not Adam and Steve. It is Adam and Eve, or in reverse, it is Eve and Adam, not Eve and Madam, not Adam and Madam. So what I'm trying to say is the beginning of the scriptures reminding us that these are the facts. We have Cain, Abel, Noah, and of course the story of the flood. As Christians or members of the Lord's church, we must always bear in mind those things that happened in the Old Testament, because if we claim that we are Christians but we do not know the story about the flood during the time of Noah, then something wrong with you. The children knows why you didn't know. See? And of course, we must know also the story about Shem, Ham, Japheth, and here comes Abraham, chapter 12 of the book of Genesis. And then we have the story about Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses, who was chosen by God to help Israelites to cross the Red Sea. And after the bondage in Egypt, we know the story about the Red Sea. They did not use a Titanic ship or a big boat. You know the rest of the story. Again, because if we do not know the story of how the Israelites and Moses crossed the Red Sea, something wrong with us. Why? Because all little kids, they know. And of course, we heard and we know about the story of the Mount Sinai, where Moses received the Ten Commandments written in two table of stones. And that was exclusively given to the people of Israelites. And then, of course, we have the story about the prophets. And then, of course, here comes the story about John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. And here comes Jesus Christ. You know the rest of the story, that when Christ came, he has no other purpose than to unite the Gentiles and the Jews in one body, and that body is no other than else the Lord's church. We are so thankful that church that has been said was the fulfillment of Matthew 16:18. It was before Christ, just to remind you, it was before just Christ be crucified. He mentioned after that Peter gave that confession that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew 16:18 says here, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon the rock, the unmovable truth that expressed by Peter that he is the Son of God, Jesus said, I will build my church. And he used the word my church. First, my, possessive noun, church, singular, and not churches. And so every time we read the Bible and there is a church, we can easily understand that there is only one true church that we can read in the Bible. Well, Paul said that Romans 16:16, churches of Christ. But he was talking about the plurality of churches in one area. And when God said that I will build my church, it was not yet there. Because we know that there was a prophecy, and there was a place where to start. And it's very clear. We have our book, Book of Acts, where we can read that after our Lord Jesus gave his commandments, final words to his apostles in verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him to go to heaven. But in verse 12, then return they unto Jerusalem. Why? Because in verse 4, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. So in chapter 2, they are already in Jerusalem. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, there in Jerusalem. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, the boatmen, out of every nation under heaven. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? I just want to say something about this. This chapter of the book of Acts is one of the favorite of the Pentecostals, who are like me and my wife before. And we use this to encourage the members, the Pentecostals, to have the desire to receive the Holy Ghost so that you can speak in other tongues. And so that you will be saved, because the Holy Spirit will only dwell in you if you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. That's what they're saying. That's what we were preaching before. But Now, on my radio program, I keep on preaching that, you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's not the real case. Because the Bible says, when these apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost, they spoke in other things, but there were so many people who understood them. People from about 18 nations that name here understood them. But when we were at the Pentecostal, when we claim that, oh, Holy Ghost, come upon me, and then everybody will start to say, you know, blah, 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 lalasaya, 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 rada kabalindi, no one can understand. No one can understand. But here, they were understood by these people. And so, something wrong. If not the Bible is wrong, those people were wrong, and they do not like me to say that on the radio. Because the Bible is always correct. And we can read here that these people spoke in other tongues, but they were who understood them. Although, in the next verse, some were mocking and they said, oh, never mind them, they were drunk. Never mind them, they were drunk. But Peter stood up with 11, lift up his voice, and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem. It does not mean, ye men of Judea, and ye all that dwell in Jerusalem, be known. No. He lift up his voice, and he said to them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, that this Jesus, verse 36, that you have crucified, made by God as both Lord and Christ. And in verse 37, these people who listened, they were pricked into their hearts. They understood their sins, and they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? And the answer says, Peter said unto them, mark this, I know in your Bible it's really Mark, but he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Oh, he did not say, oh, just accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, and you will be saved right now, hallelujah. There's no verse like that. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for is in the Greek word, means so that your sins will be forgiven, not because your sins were already forgiven. And, oh, these Pentecostal people do not like me to expound all this truth on the radio. But that is the fact, brethren. That is what we can read in the Bible. And as a result of this preaching, first preaching of the gospel of this Christian era, in verse 41, they that gladly receive his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to that church, not churches, added to that church daily such as should be saved. Brethren, all of us know that there is a true church of Christ, built by Christ. We can read in the book of Acts, chapter 5, there is a member of that church of Christ who lied, and they were punished. You know them. You know them, Ananias and Sapphira. Chapter 6, the church of Christ in Jerusalem has a problem. And there is all. My point there is, already a church of Christ. Chapter 7, a preacher of the church of Christ was stoned to death. You know his name, Stephen. Chapter 8, we have this church of Christ that were persecuted by Saul. There is a church of Christ. In chapter 9, there is a persecutor of the church of Christ, but was saved. And you know, he was Saul. Chapter 10, we have the story of these people from Caesarea. Cornelius and his family were baptized into Christ. They were converted into the church of Christ. Chapter 11 up to chapter 28 of the book of Acts prove to us that there is already the church of Christ. Paul called Ephesians 5:7 the glorious church. And because of that glorious church, brethren, the reason why we are here this morning, that you and I are here, it is the glorious church, it is the blood-bought church, and composed of Christians, men and women who obeyed the gospel. They were baptized for the remission of their sins. And we are so thankful that God made us one in that glorious church. Now we can call Him Father and we can call His one brother and sister. The only solution that God made, and never and no one can do that. No one can pay the price of our sin than our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are so thankful for that church. But you know what? Here comes the modern churches. Here comes the modern churches. And this is the problem now, you know, that after the closing of the Bible, more churches are coming out. And it's funny because sometimes even in the country, in the Philippines, like you hear, I heard in Texas, a church that says Outlaw Church. Outlaw Church. And there is also, what do you call this, Church of the Cowboy. Cowboy Church in Texas. So I remember in the Philippines, when you go to Baguio City, you can see a church that like this, Bell Church. Bell. And to think what the Bible is saying about a church, it is a group of people who were converted or baptized into Christ, and because Christ was the one who called him, so it is a church of Christ. But now here is a bell church, and what I know about the bell is tang, tang, katang. So there is a tang, tang, katang church. And you cannot read that because the Bible already closed, and they are coming out. More are coming out. Brethren, we are so thankful that we have our Bible, and our topic is remember the traditions of the apostles that we must leave. Whether you are an American, or a Filipino, a Japanese, or a Chinese, or any, belong to any tribe of this world. We have one Bible, we have one God. And you know what, brethren, because of this, now we are living 2011. What do we need to do? Remember, the Bible is saying Christ is coming. Christ is coming. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 and 20, I come quickly. When He comes, He will not come for the many churches. John 14 said, verse 1, in my Father's house are many mansions. Believe on me, believe also in God. For, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, for it were not so, I will tell you, I will go and prepare a place for you. And if I will go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And that is what we are waiting. That is what we are waiting as Christians, as members of the Lord's church. That is what we are waiting. The question is, when will He come? And the Bible says, no one knows. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, tells us, except the Father. No one knows. So when one is saying May 21, 2011, or October 21, or you know what? Like him, he's wrong. Nothing happened last May 21. Now he's saying, oh, I mean this next year. Look at that. Look at how they are fooling people. And these people will say, oh, yes, Pastor, we believe on you, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. The Bible is saying, no one knows. So. And beware. The Bible says, Jesus said, beware of the prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly ravenous words. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Again, what shall we do while waiting for this coming of the Lord? What shall we do? We were already baptized. God added us into the church. We are now members of the Lord's church to understand that our sins were already forgiven. What do we need to do while waiting for His coming like that? Brethren, we need to consider about this matter. And we must not take it lightly because others did already and they were swayed away. Now open your Bibles in 2 Timothy, please, 3:15, and we'll find out what the Apostle Paul wants us to do while waiting for the coming of the Lord. This know also, he said, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, were they? You know them. And it says here, unthankful, unholy, verse 3, without natural affliction, towards breakers, false accusers, incontinent fears, despisers of those that are good, traitors, hating high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, Paul said, from such, turn away. And in Colossians, please, thank you for turning your Bibles with me. Colossians, I'm not fabricating words, help me to prove what I'm saying. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. And verse 9 then, husbands, spank your wives. No. It says here, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, verse 20, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, verse 21, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Brethren, you know what I mean? Look around. All these things are just happening, and even sometimes in the church. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says here, wherefore, saying we, the Christians, also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. This is the situation that we have, not only here in America, but even in the Philippines. But look at the Hebrew writer saying. He's saying, let us. He said, let us. Let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily besets us, and let us run with patience. We are talking about Christians who are waiting for the coming of the Lord. Christians who are very proud that they are saying that they were already forgiven with their sins, that they were washed by the blood of the Lamb, and we are claiming that we are Christians and one day we'll be with Jesus someday. But look at this. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does also besets us. And here comes the word, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with the race with patience. I'm telling you, brethren, I do not know here in the U.S., but some churches, some brethren over there in the Philippines, many Christians are losing now their patience. They are losing their patience to their husband, to their wives, to their children, to their loved ones, and even to the Lord. It's because they schedule their coming to the church once in a month, or sometimes once in a 2 months. Brethren, we are advised, let us lay aside every weight, because if we will not do that, no one that doing sin will go to heaven. Let us run with patience. Let us run with patience. There are so many problems that we are encountering. I know not only in our country, but even here. There are so many problems that we are encountering, and this problem will come after one another, you know, and sometimes two, three, four, and they are so heavy. Brethren, it says, please don't quit. Do not stop. Do not look back, and don't be discouraged. Why? Because He's coming, and He's coming soon. Run the race for the goal, finish the course, fight the good fight of faith. Again, for His coming. And His coming is real. His coming is real. There are those who are preachers, even preachers now of the Church of Christ, they say, oh, no, He's not coming physically anymore. Because He came already in 70 AD. That is not true, my friend. Because the Bible, so many verses in the Bible that say He is coming. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, verse 17, there will be a shout of the angels when He comes. He is coming, brethren. Why? Because heaven is real. Heaven is real and hell is real. But again, it's so sad. Not only now the denominations are saying, but there are now some preachers of the Church of Christ, they are saying that there is no heaven, there is no real hell. They said, if you have 5 wives, and you are happy, and you are content, you are already in heaven. And if you are sad, you are already in hell. Those things are not real. But brethren, the Bible is saying, heaven is real, hell is real. It's a burning place where God will bring those people that will be punished because they disobeyed God. And if God said it, we must believe it. God said it, we must believe it. Again, Christ is coming. He's coming for His church, for all of us. But we need to stay and be faithful unto Him. And I tell you, His coming is filled with many promises. Many promises. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:52. When He comes, oh, I tell you, when He comes, this corruptible body will be changed into incorruptible. This mortal body will be changed into immortal. Meaning, when He comes, that will be the end of problems that we are suffering. And there is a song that it says, in just one glimpse of His face, all sorrows will be erased. Believe it or not, accept it or not, my friend, but in this life, we have so many problems, we have many trouble, and we are having different kind of sicknesses. And look around, cancer is killing many people. I know in my country, cancer is a big problem. And I know over here, cancer. We lose our loved ones with all these problems. And our own bodies, sometimes weak. We have our own problems. But oh, when He comes, He will fulfill His promise that those who will stay and remain faithful, that's what we are talking about, will meet Him on the air. We will be totally changed. All the dead shall rise up, and all of us that will meet Him will be changed and will be like Him. And I tell you, that will be the time that we can see Him face to face. Right now, we cannot see His face. This mortal body is not mass to see His glorious body. His situation, His spiritual, we are carnal. We cannot do this. We cannot see Him by our own selves. But when He comes, and He will change us, and I tell you, we'll be like Him, and we can see His face, and we'll be face to face with Him. That's what this song is saying. And once again, brethren, I tell you, not only for the old people, but even the young people, boys and girls, we have to step up. Because we do not know when Christ will come. And when He comes, we want to hear His words will come. Inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you. I tell you, many who are dreaming to go to heaven will not hear these words of God. Why? Matthew 7:21-23. You can read that. That on that day, many will ask a question, why, Lord, I serve you. I was a member of your church. I was a very active in your church. But brethren, something lacking. And that's what I'm trying to expose this morning. That Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5, examine yourselves. Because you will not be saved because of your mate. I will not be saved because of my wife. And my wife will not be saved because of me. Salvation is individual. And we must examine ourselves to get that hope when He comes. Oh, that sing that what we are singing, God shall wipe away all tears. For the last time, please be with me, and let's now read this last verse that we are going to read. It's now 11, it's now 12. So we'll read now this, and we'll close. chapter 7, please, in the book of Revelation, look at this. It was pictured what happened on the judgment day. And it says here, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and psalms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. Amen. Verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And verse 14. I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are the which came out of great tribulation, and have washed the robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, verse 15, are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight of them nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And look at that statement. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Who are those that God will wipe away from their eyes? Those who were washed by the blood of the Lamb. Those who will be washed by the blood of the Lamb. And we know, we can easily understand, that's when we will be baptized for the remission of our sins. And it says here, God shall wipe away all tears. That is our hope, brethren. That is what I am praying. Because at that time, no more separation. No more separation. And we know, some of us lost already our loved ones in this life. We are separated because of this situation of life. But if we will remain on these promises of God, God shall wipe away all tears. We encourage you, therefore, friends, if you are here and you are not yet baptized properly for the remission of your sins, we encourage you, please come. Please come while we are singing that song. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins. Come forward when we sing that. Because Romans 8:1, there is no more condemnation. Those that are in Christ only. Those who are in Christ. Shall we stand and sing, and we invite you to please come over, friends, this morning.